Amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Janice, for leading us this morning. Amen. Thank you, tech team, as well. And everybody who's volunteering, good morning. Welcome to First Open Bible. How are you? Five people. Awesome. Praise God. How's the rest of you doing? They're doing good. First people doing good. The rest of y'all doing, woo! Awesome. Praise God. My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and we have something special for you this morning that I'm excited for. How's your 2020 new going? Good. It'll get better. Like I'm asking trick questions this morning. Our current series is titled Loveology. Loveology is the theology of love from God's point of view. This month, we're going to break down what love is all about. We're going to learn what Scripture has to say about God, love, singleness, marriage, sexuality, and relationships. Anybody been blessed by the series so far? Amen? If you are, say amen. 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 That means I agree. Oh, hey, guys. To the front, please. Thank you. God thought this whole thing up. He thought loveology up. He thought love up. And he has a lot to say about this subject. You won't want to miss the rest of the series, which I have good news. It's actually going to now be going through the month of March as well. It's been a great series. Amen? You could really preach this all year. You could preach this all year long. Now, the Bible starts with marriage and ends with marriage. The first week, we started off with Loveology series with marriage and God's dream for love. If you weren't here that week, go back and listen to it. It's very important to know what God's dream for love is. Maybe the reason why you don't have good love in your life is you have no clue what God's dream was for love. Now, last week, thank you, I preached on sex and sexuality. If you missed that, oh, you missed it. I seriously was surprised that we didn't have a full house. Very, very surprised by that, but the good thing is we have live stream, so you can go back, and I'm held accountable for everything I've said. And pretty intense. Anybody ever been on something that's on YouTube and it's there forever? Right? It don't matter how fat you are, how weird you look, if you got something in your teeth or your hair's all messed up, people will see that forever. Just how it is. Today we're going to continue our series going forward, and this is going to be a special one. I've been reading this book from John Mark Comer. It's called Loveology, and it's been wonderful. John Comer is a pastor in Portland, Oregon. Go Ducks. This book starts with marriage, and then it works backwards. I've been doing a lot of studying on relationships. I've been doing a lot of study on love and sex and God in these past few weeks. And if you know me personally, reading is not my favorite. I'm not a fast reader. It takes a while to comprehend things for me. I have to read it two or three times. My mind goes faster than the words I can read. But I've been studying a lot. And this is what I keep running into. This is what keeps being pointed out for me. This is how the world can change. This is how the world has changed. Where marriages go, societies follow. So we have to change marriages. Last night, we had an awesome night at our marriage conference. It was awesome. We had 24 couples, three sessions, lots of laughs, and wonderful wisdom. We also had 34 giveaways, and it was free to come to. Sarah, my wife, and Sherry, you guys did awesome. It was a wonderful event. Rick, and everyone else who helped, thank you so much for everything you did as well to get everything going. We appreciate you. Those things don't just happen. There's lots of planning, there's lots of preparation, and then there's the dreaded teardown, you know. Church, I want to tell you something. Grass is not greener on the other side. Grass is greener where you water it. That's how it works. Your yard looks terrible because you don't do anything to it. So make sure you water and tend to your marriage, and then it will grow. That's how it works. Now, loveology, the theology of love from God's point of view, we have to get back to God's dream for all relationships. Amen? All relationships. This morning, I want to talk about a few different types of relationships. We cannot take relationships lightly. To survive in a cold and hurtful and sometimes cruel world, it's going to require deep relationships. But those relationships don't just happen. You know, you don't have friends because you're not a very good friend. It takes a friend to make a friend, right? If you want to have a deep relationship, you have to give a lot of effort and hard work toward that. Don't just expect someone else to do it. And you have to do more than just reach out to others. You have to share your life as well. That's how it works. Amen? Y'all quiet this morning? Because there's a table here with chairs, Pastor. It's so weird. I gotta move this around a little bit. So weird. Yeah, it is weird. Weird. I'm actually gonna pick four random people from the audience who is not paying attention and who is not saying anything at all and looking like they hate life right now. I'm gonna ask you to come up. You're laughing. I know, Pastor, he's that crazy. He would do it. Yes, ma'am, I would. Yes, I would. But I'm not going to do that today. But I still want you to pay attention. We have to share our lives with others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 says this: "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news." Right? That's awesome. Sharing love with others is sharing the good news of Jesus. That's important. But look what else. It says, "But we also shared our own lives as well." Right? Let me read that again. "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too." We have seven people this morning who are about to share part of their lives with us. Now, I've asked in the beginning here to have two couples come and join me up on stage just for a little bit of time. So Pastor Stevens and Sharon and Josh and Carson, will you please come on up and give them a hand as they come? Come on up. You got to keep clapping. They're walking slow. Real slow. Come on. Come on down. Awesome. You ready? Feel your hands? Did you throw up this morning?
No, but when you're talking about hair.
Oh, your hair looks good. Your hair looks good. Yours is really good. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. Awesome. Praise God. Well, there's a microphone in front of you. Each microphone is for a couple. Let's go ahead and grab that microphone. I want to ask you a few questions. This thing went down. All right. Josh and Carson, please tell us, how long have you been married?
Oh, today is actually our 3-month anniversary.
Hey, 3 months. It's awesome. Pastor Stevens and Sharon, please tell us how long you've been married.
52 years.
Oh, is it on? Let's try that again. Try it again. It's going. He just pointed at me.
52 years.
Amen.
I can't believe it either.
52 years. Praise God. So which one of you gets the medal? Okay. Just joking. Let's start with Josh and Carson, okay? Josh, will you please tell us like a quick version of your faith story, how you met Jesus?
Yeah, so my mother, hi mom, by the way, call me. She instilled the word of God into our home at a very early age. And then it wasn't until about after college, I found myself in just a really dark place. And when I looked in the mirror, I didn't like who was looking back at me. And it was at that point I realized how far I allowed myself to drift away from the word of God. And since then, just been doing everything I can each and every day to close that gap a little bit more. And ever since doing so, it's so many blessings that came into my life.
Amen. Amen. Josh, tell us when you're don't just hand it off. Tell us your secret sin. I'm just playing. Here comes the puke. Okay. Somebody asked me this morning, do you want a donut? I was like, no, I don't eat on Sundays because I don't want to puke. I've been doing this for a while and I still don't eat because I get it. I get it. Tell me, what's your favorite Bible verse or story and why?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
My favorite Bible verse is Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? These words have always resonated in my life because of times of turmoil, and just, it brings me peace and comfort and relieves anxiety in times of need.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Ms. Carson, please tell us a quick version of your faith story. How did you meet Jesus?
So I always believed in God, but as a child, we didn't really grow up going to church or really talking about God. So it wasn't until I was an adult. As my grandma got older, she really turned to God and really started to grow her faith, and I was just drawn to that. I remember calling her and stopping over just to ask questions and to ask for prayer. One of her last wishes was that her family, would do the same, would give their life to God. And I would say that's really when my journey began.
Awesome. Yep. Awesome. Praise God. Will you tell us, what's your favorite Bible verse or story in the Bible and why?
I would say one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 31:25. She is clothed in strength and dignity and laughs without fear of the future. For me, it's just a good reminder that when God is part of your life or on your side, there's no need to fear the future or the what ifs.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. That's awesome. Thank you. How'd you guys both meet?
Really, really awesome story. We met on Facebook.
Hey!
Nothing too exciting. He likes to tell people that I'm the one that sent the friend request. So, and it's true. Stalker. Stalker mode.
Yeah.
It's actually really random. We had zero mutual friends. Josh actually lives in Davenport and still does. We haven't actually moved in together yet. But I was with a friend, and he popped up on my friend's suggestion list, and I asked her, I'm like, should I do it? Because it's just not, definitely out of my character. And she talked me into it. And I woke up the next morning with a message. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome. When did you know this is who you were going to marry?
I knew probably before she did. As soon as she said hello, actually. But, prior to that message that came through on Facebook, I was doing a terrible job at, selecting relationships for myself. And I finally gave it to God and just wanted him to steer the ship and bring someone into my life. And then it was literally just a month or two after that, he brought Carson into my life. And it's just been so amazing.
Amen. That's awesome. How'd you guys celebrate Valentine's Day this year?
So we actually volunteered with the church. We handed out chocolates to the neighborhood. And then we went home, and after freezing our butt off all day, it was cold. It was really cold.
Yeah,
we just hung out and watched TV and ate brownies and ice cream and then complained all night how sick we felt.
Awesome.
Oh, we did get our wedding pictures back last weekend, so we were able to go through our wedding pictures.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
That was fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
One thing you don't know about Josh and Carson is they are huge servants. They want to volunteer help with everything you can. This guy drives in over an hour just to get here to serve. Pretty awesome. What's been your favorite thing about being married? Except for getting sick and cold.
Besides the companionship of a best friend, it has been the strength that we bring together, because we both love to serve, as you were mentioning. And, when we put our minds together and our strength on how we want to serve, the opportunities just come left and right, and you know, we're very thankful for that as well.
Amen. What do you have to think?
No, I like you touched on, I think just being able to share your life with your best friend, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome. Amen. That's awesome. All right, what's been the most challenging thing about your relationship?
So I would say today it's probably been the distance, kind of twofold. So one, obviously we miss each other. We don't get to see each other during the week. So we're just weekend warriors still. The other part of that is it creates additional communication issues, you know, on top of the normal communication issues that relationships have. So we have to get really creative with how to connect and how to communicate.
That's good. I would say
it's definitely the biggest challenge.
Yeah, I bet. What did you learn about each other during that time, or during this time that you're going through right now?
Something that we do is we do a weekly Bible study on the Bible app. It's been huge for us. It's another way for us to connect. And then also we have learned so much. We take turns picking the topic, but anything from communication, love languages, so really trying to figure out like how to communicate, how to speak to each other, trigger words, how to love each other. So we've learned a lot, but we still have so much more to learn. So I can't wait for you guys to go.
That's good. They also met on Facebook, except it was through a pigeon. I don't know. moving on. What did you learn about God during this time, or the time that you're going with the difficulty with relationships and long distance and communication and all that? What did you learn about God during that time or this time right now?
The main thing I've learned was just to believe in Him. Have faith in God, and He will see you through the darkest or the hardest of the times, and which He is constantly present and acting in our life. You know?
Amen. Amen.
Unless we put ourselves first, which, you know, we always have to revert back.
Yep, that's natural. We're all like that, right? We all think about ourselves and we're like, oh, stop it, right? All right, last question for you guys. You're doing great, by the way. Very good. Would you please give us some wisdom, both of you or one of you, however you want to do it. Give us some wisdom, what you've learned when it comes to relationships.
Patience, lots of patience. Beyond that, I would just say, just to touch on what you just said, you know, as long as you keep God front and center, you can get through anything.
Ditto.
Ditto. Ditto. Amen.
One other thing.
That's my girl right there.
One other thing I'll add to is we talk about this a lot is obviously God comes first, but then putting each other before the other. You know, when you're in an argument, if you can just stop and try to put yourselves in their shoes, and we all want to be understood, we want to be heard, and instead of me wanting to be heard or understood, trying to understand Him and hear Him, and vice versa. So
that's good. Amen. Thank you, Josh and Carson. You did great. Wonderful. All right, Pastor Stevens and Sharon. Pastor Stevens, can you please tell us a quick version of your faith story, how you met Jesus?
I was 16 years old, and I came from a broken home, and I was searching for God at that time in my life. I had been in the Methodist Church for a while, Christian Church, Lutheran Church, and primarily the Presbyterian Church. I had some friends that lived on the northwest side, and I decided to go visit them, and a family had moved in next door to them. They had 7 kids, and I became very close to that family, and Donnie was my age and became my friend. And Donnie brought me to church. And first experience within a Pentecostal church was different for me. I had come from a very quiet, staid church, and they didn't make noise in church. And it was a shock to me. I almost thought it was irreverent. But one thing I liked, and I learned to love every part of it, the thing that I liked the most was the preaching. Pastor Gale preached, and there was power and authority in it that I had not heard, and I was attracted to it greatly. And after about 6 months, I actually sat on the edge of my pew in the church, taking it all in. I went forward one night and committed my life to Christ. Donnie was beside me, Nellie was beside me, some of the other family were all praying around me, and that was the beginning of a most wonderful journey of my entire life, is knowing Christ and serving Christ.
Praise God, that was awesome. Amen. Pastor Stevens, what's your favorite Bible verse or your favorite Bible story and why?
My favorite Bible story is the largest narrative in the Bible next to the Gospels. That's the story of Joseph. And it's a story of God's hidden work, his providence, that when we don't think God is at work, he is at work always, constantly. And he's bringing all things to his intended end. And Joseph, his journey was down continually. But one day, God turned the whole thing around, and he was the instrument to saving the Jewish nation and to make sure the Messiah came. And he didn't know it for 13 years in prison. So the sovereignty of God, God is sovereign, and that's my favorite text.
Preach, preacher. Amen. Very good. Thank you so much. Miss Sharon, please tell us a quick version of your faith story. How did you meet Jesus?
Well, I just want to say first that my mom and my aunt, her sister, Aunt Judy, have been here pretty much since the church began. I never knew what it was like not to be in church. Mom took us, at the time my dad was away from the Lord, and all of our growing up years, my brothers and I, my mom brought us to church. She was instrumental, and moms are very important to your children. We were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all nights in between, because we had many revival services at that time. So I was just always there. And a particular time I remember was when a man named Calvin Loper, he was one of the head leaders in Open Bible, he came to have a service, and he preached on the second coming of Christ. Now, you have to know that I was 4 or 5 years old. And after he got done preaching, he blew the trumpet. Mm. And I envisioned Jesus coming. And what if I wasn't ready? And I ran to the altar, and I repented at 4 years old.
Praise God.
And I felt the Holy Spirit convicting me of sin. Mm. And I am so glad he did.
That's awesome. Amen. Ms. Sharon, will you please tell us, what's your favorite Bible verse or your favorite Bible story and why?
One of the stories I like is in John 20. And Mary Magdalene was the first person at the tomb after Jesus had died. And she gets to the tomb, and the stone was gone. And she began to cry, and she looked inside. There's some things I'm leaving out, but she looked inside, and there were two angels dressed in white, just sitting there where he had been buried, and they said, "Why are you crying?" She turns around as she's crying, and there stood Jesus. Mm. She didn't know it was him. And he said, "Mary, why are you," or he said, "Why are you crying?" And then the most beautiful words came out of his mouth. He said her name, Mary. And every time I read that, I want to cry, because he knew her and she knew him. And that's the way I felt that day when I ran to the altar as a 4-year-old. He called me. He knew my name.
Come on now. Amen. How did you guys meet?
Well, I started going to the youth group. We had a fairly large youth group, and my first recollection of Sharon, she always looked nice, and she was standing with her best friend, and I remembered her hair. Her hair was always in perfect place, and she never turned her head. She turned her whole body so she wouldn't mess up her hair. That's what I remember.
Hey, that's a very wise tip. Right?
And And I noticed she had beautiful eyes, and she was shy and quiet, and I sensed at that time that there was goodness in this woman.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Youth, were you listening? I see two of you talking. Make sure you listen. Very important. When did you know this is who you were going to marry?
I could tell a long story on that, and I knew it far longer before she did. But I had been engaged in Chicago to a lady who's a young lady whose parents were part of the leadership of a large Swedish Pentecostal church, and I came home for the back to Bible college last year, and as I was there, I broke up with the girl. And so I invited Sharon to take a walk one night with me. And there was a park called Waterworks Park in Des Moines, beautiful park. And it was in, this is September, August, September time. And so we went out the back of the church, the park was closed, back of the college. And we crossed Bell Avenue, then climbed over a fence to get into the park because it was closed.
Youth, stop listening. I'll let you know when to listen again, okay?
And I loved her for years. And she had, not now, that had to grow on her. But, so, when I was dating Bonnie, I was thinking of her. Because I wanted her to be as happy as I was. And I wanted to talk to her to help her to be happy as I was, not realizing that that was not the thing to do where she was at that time. But I worried about her and always thought of her. And there on that bridge that night, I kissed her. And then I knew. Yeah, then I knew we were going to be married. And,
amen. Anyway, that was awesome. Great story.
I considered him as a friend only. We just pretty much were together all the time in youth at church, and we went to Bible college together. And that summer that he spoke of, that we went to work in the ghetto in Chicago, can you believe I did that? I still can't believe I did that. But I began praying, and I knew he was engaged, and my feelings had changed to a little more than just being a friend, and I couldn't understand that, really. And I began to pray against jealousy. I thought, you're just jealous. But over some time, that changed. So I began to change my prayers that God would bring us together. And so we both went back to the Bible college that fall. We were engaged in April and married in August.
Wow.
When Amen. You know, you know.
You know. Amen. All right, youth, you can keep listening now. Okay. What'd you guys do for Valentine's Day this year?
Well, this is how I describe it.
please don't say nothing.
We went to a fine restaurant.
Okay.
We had Mexican cuisine, which is my favorite. We found a quiet place of solitude separate from everybody to eat, and then we watched the beautiful scenery, and we had some quality time together. And now I'll let my wife describe it.
Well, we were very busy. We've had some construction done at the parsonage over there across the field, and we were very busy on Valentine's. I think I forgot it was Valentine's Day, but we did kiss and say happy Valentine's Day, but then forgot about it. So the day before, we celebrated, and as we got out of the car, I walked up to Taco Bell's door, and they okay. were under construction.
Oh.
So we went through the drive-thru, got a $5 box to share. Not too bad.
To share.
To share. And then
you both we stick together. That's awesome.
We went into the parking lot and sat there and ate it and talked and enjoyed the traffic.
Okay. What a romantic. I love it. This is now a lesson on perspective. That was awesome.
We do
fine
go to
cuisine
other...
and had amazing views and what? Taco Bell drive-through parking lot. Okay. Got it. Hey. But y'all love each other and you kiss. That's awesome. Okay. What has been your favorite thing other than that about being married?
For me, it's been companionship. It's knowing when you go home at night, there's someone there that loves you and is going to be there, that you can talk to them, that their love is faithful and it'll be there. You can share life together and you're not alone. I think the lonely part that God said to Adam, it's not good that man be alone, totally has satisfied that aspect of my life. And I guess that's the greatest part of being married is the companionship. She still excites me after 52 years. The spark is still there. It's even gotten brighter. It's changed over the years. The feminine mystique that she has had, I've never grown tired of. She excites me. I'm still discovering things about her. And that will last for the rest of our lives, and in some aspects through eternity. Amen.
Kiss. Okay, good. Okay. Oh, you. Okay. You grabbed the mic. I thought you were going to say something. You said it all. Amen. What has been the most challenging thing about your relationship?
Well, being married to a pastor requires a lot of demands, a lot of work with the church and the lovely people that God gives you. And we had four children. Our second child was born with special needs. Her name is Natasha. She has Down syndrome. And half of me was dedicated to her every day, and the other half divided between three other children. So you can imagine the house with my husband not there in the chaos. I did the best I could, but Tasha was born with many illnesses, one being a heart defect, which later she had open heart surgery. She developed seizures, epilepsy at 6 months old. She had probably more than 25 to 30 pneumonias, and ear infections, sinus infections. So she required constant care. And that, you know, any of you know with issues that it puts pressure on the home life, the family, everything. God did heal her of epilepsy. It was a miracle. We had Pastor Gail had a couple come in that the wife had grand mal seizures, and she, as odd as it seems, pastor asked for people to come forth who needed prayer for epilepsy, and I just said to my husband, no, I'm not doing that because I'm not taking her to every evangelist in the world. But he said, let's do it this time. So we did. 3 days later, I don't know why, the seizures stopped. And of all of the grief and sadness of having her, that was worth it, that God healed her. But Chuck attended to the church a lot and wasn't home. And I, in those days, I cried for 2 months straight about the situation. And someone had given me a book because I felt hopeless, and they gave me this book, and it was entitled In All Things Give Thanks. And that day, I got on my knees in the living room, little tiny house. I lifted my hands, and I began to thank him and pray that verse. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Not that you have the problem, but he gives you hope. And it's been a long journey, but I can look back and I say, I have no regrets. And God has been with me. He's been a friend and close friend to me all through those years.
Amen. What did you learn about each other during that time?
Well, I learned that I had a wonderful life, wife, a wonderful match for me, and my great struggle in the marriage has been balancing ministry and my wife. It's like I'm standing between two entities that are calling me constantly, pulling on me. And when you're a pastor and you're a real pastor and you love your people, they're on your mind all the time. And I would come home and I wouldn't be home. I would be with my wife and I wouldn't be with my wife. My mind was elsewhere. My mind was thinking of a couple going through trouble or thinking from a family who's has a loved one dying, other things, responsibilities of the church. And that was a terrible thing in the marriage, with wanting to do service and love my wife as I should. So that was my great struggle in ministry. It was keeping the balance. And I often felt that I, in my ministry, I shortchanged my wife, and I always felt like I wanted to give more to her. So that was the greatest challenge, and ministry is that way. If a person is a genuine pastor and love, it can be a profession, you know, just something you punch in the time card. But if you care for people, then your mind and heart is with them all the time. And so the challenge I had was keeping a balance between that, and it was a struggle for me to do that. My wife was perfect match for me. She shared her life with me. She was easy to please, easy to satisfy. There was never a jealousy over ministry in my life with my wife. She shared herself with me. And for that, I was just a perfect match for what I did. I was driven. I was single-focused. I was consumed by things. And she tolerated that, and I often think that the greatest reward she'll get in life when she gets to heaven will be having dealt with a husband who was away so much and doing other things, important things, good things. But she'll get jewels in her crown for that, I believe, for being that to me. So I appreciate that about my.
There was never a time, I just want to clear this, because I was called as well by God, there was never a time that I resented him when he would get up in a restaurant and go to the hospital and leave his food and leave our friends, whoever we were with, or had to answer the phone during dinner or anything like that. I knew it was the call of God, and when you know that, you... you go with the flow, basically.
Oh. Oh. Well, you just messed up my life right there. I'm over here crying. I'm like, oh. Like, get it together, man. You're supposed to be leading this thing. Very good. I get it. Man, I get that. Ooh. All right. What did you learn about God during that time?
Well, I learned that he was there, even when I didn't think he was. He was there all the time, and he still is. And I learned he's a constant. He's constant. He's forever loving, kind, just, forgiving, gracious, and merciful. That's the God we serve.
All right, last question. Would you please give us all some wisdom that you've learned when it comes to relationships?
Oh.
That was funny.
Well, the first one I thought of was trust, is trust. When you're married, that's the bottom line.
Man.
You must trust. trust. And if you can't trust that person, please don't marry them. The Lord brings the balance, as my husband said, in the marriage. And I don't know what I would do to go through this life if I didn't have Christ to guide me all these 52 years of marriage. I wouldn't take anything back.
Okay, there's a few things I learned. I'll try to keep this. I learned this personally, that everything in my life flowed from my relationship with God on a personal level. Everything. Everything I did better when I was close to Christ.
Yeah.
And when I was close to Christ, I treated my wife better. And I was more attentive to her. And I also learned, and as you grow in Christ, the old Adamic sinful nature is always there, and it'll be there. It's kind of suppressed and under covers and down. But when you get away from the Lord on a personal basis, that the old nature begins to come out. And then again, it affects everything, everything in your life. So when I was close to God, I was better to my wife. I talked better to her. I treated her better. I was more sensitive, more attentive. When I got away from the Lord, then I could tell I became proud. I became selfish. I became stubborn. I became foolish. The way I could tell that I was not close to the Lord is my mouth. Because generally I would say things that I shouldn't say, hurtful things. And then I would be proud, nah, I'm not going to apologize, and that kind of a thing. And then it would protract the issue that we were dealing with. So if I could give any advice, your personal walk with Christ is the most important thing in your life. When you stay close to the Lord, then you're going to treat your wife better, and you're going to have a better, you're going to handle stress and anxiety and issues a lot better. Secondly, for me, it was the Holy Spirit. I treasure my relationship to God above all things. I found when I put the Lord first, I treated my wife better than if I didn't put him first. And so putting him first helped me to love my wife much better than I could have had I not. And listening to the Holy Spirit, you're going through the day and you're dealing with your spouse, your family, and the Holy Spirit says to you, you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have done that, or he says you should have said that, or you should have done that. And I learned over time I'd better listen to that, because that really helped me when I listened to the Lord speaking to me. And I also learned that you can't stay right with God without being right with your spouse. That's how it worked with me. If I, terrible time is Sunday morning. Sometimes that's when the fights happen, you know, in a family. Nope. The devil, you know, trying to keep you from going to church and get you in a foul attitude, whatever. And for me, the hypocrisy, duplicity, play acting, being two different people and getting in the pulpit never did work for me. When I stood before the people, my heart had to be right. And if I was not right with my wife, I had a terrible time in the pulpit because I felt like a hypocrite. And so I realized that the Lord kind of says, okay, you love me, you want to please me, take care of her, be right with her. And I learned that I have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I guess the last thing, I had what I call drift. When you get busy and preoccupied, you need to regularly reconnect. I also had communications, that's very important. Giving permission to talk about anything and everything, and the ability to really listen and to put yourself in the shoes of your spouse and their reality. You may not like it, you may not believe it, you may think it's silly, but it's where they're at. And then talking things out and compromising. But then the thing, in the as the years went by with me, the latter decades of my life, one word, the Protestant Episcopal marriage ceremony says we're to love and to cherish our wives, our spouse, through better for worse, in sickness and in health, through everything, rich and poor, until death do us part. And the word that has continually come to me that's motivating me now is treasure, cherish. Apart from Christ, this is the best thing that happened to me in my life. She has satisfied me, she has fulfilled me, she has freed me, that I can do other things in life and then come home to her. And I read of a man who had a gun collection, and he just loved his guns, and he kept on accumulating guns and spending time downstairs in his gun shop and doing everything that he did with it, while his wife sat upstairs neglected. And it ended up that he ended up with his guns, but not his wife. And I want to cherish her. I want to make life easy for her. I want to do things for her to make her happy. I just want to make, she is the most valuable thing in my life apart from Christ. And I love my kids, but she's above my kids. I'd die for my kids, but she's above my kids. And our years have gotten better. They were never really bad. We went through all the stuff you guys go through. It's different for every family. But we went through stuff, and the Lord was faithful through it all. He got us through them all. The love didn't diminish. It increased over the years. And the best years of our life are the years we're living in right now. I've had a good life because of Christ. I've had a good life because the Lord brought us together. And so that's some of the things I've learned and I wanted to share.
Amen. So. Thank you so much. Josh and Carson, Pastor Stevens and Sharon, thank you so much for sharing part of your life with us this morning. Thank you for being open and real and honest with us today in your relationships. Will you please go ahead and head back to your seats in the congregation? And we're going to prepare. Amen. Give them a hand. Now we're going to prepare for three more people to come join us up here before we close out today. So, Miss Melissa, Mr. Dustin, and Miss Marilyn, will you please come up? Welcome them as they come. Come on up. Awesome. That was wonderful, wasn't it? So much wisdom. Wonderful. That's literally how I have it written, so thank you. That's how I got it. All right, so, Miss Melissa, we're going to start with you. Not because Miss Marilyn told you where to sit, but because I have it down like that. Miss Melissa, will you please tell us a quick version of your faith story, how you met Jesus, how he came into your life?
I've been in this church my whole entire life. I left when I was 16 because I could drive. Bye. I could leave and go do whatever I wanted. So, and then life got hard. I got married, and marriage is really hard. And then I needed help with Christmas gifts. So I reached out to Trudy and Dave Kesterson, and they helped me get Christmas gifts for my kids, and they helped me come back to church. And first it was VBS, like drop your kids off, have a break from your kids, you know, like just come bring them here and you can go home and do whatever you want and no big deal, you know. And then it was, I was working in VBS and I was helping out in VBS. And then I was working in the nursery, and I was cuddling on kids every night, you know, and that's how I got my ministry, I guess you would say, like, how I would, I don't know, like, get the ministry of God, like, through the kids in the nursery, because I felt comfortable in there. I didn't feel comfortable around, like, adults yet, because that's just not where I was at with God. And then I begged Pastor Harris if I could be with the youth because I was not comfortable with being in like Wednesday night church because it just was above my head. Like, I didn't know about these people that they were talking about, like Joseph and Elijah, and I don't know these people because I'm not learning about these people. I don't read the Bible. I wasn't reading the Bible. I still really, really don't read the Bible. I get it from you guys because that's just not how I learn. You know, I learn better from somebody teaching me that. I don't do well reading either. Like, I don't read ever. Like, you guys help me learn these stories.
I just show Miss Marilyn how the Bible on your phone can read to you.
Oh, that's what I do all day long at work.
Come on now.
I literally listen to podcasts or I listen to like plans at work because I can't just sit down and read the Bible. It's just not for me.
So when did you get back to God? Like, how long ago? What happened?
Well, 2013 is when I reached out to Trudy and Dave. So I've been here ever since that. So like slowly, progressively being back in the church since then.
Pastor Dave and Trudy at the time were the children's pastors.
Yeah, they were the children's pastors. My kids went to Josiah's, so that's how I knew them.
Yeah, we had a daycare for 16 years in here.
Yep, so they helped me come back to church. They literally brought me back.
Praise God.
And I'm here now, and I'm probably not going anywhere.
Yeah, and Melissa, what do you do for the church right now?
I actually clean the church. So.
Yeah, she's on staff. She's our main lady.
Yeah.
Pick up your trash. Pick it up.
Actually, my family helps clean.
That's true.
Literally, like, right now I'm really, really busy, so my husband and my kids come in and help clean so that I don't have to do it on the weekends all the time.
Praise God. All right, tell us. That's great. Family, all in.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Bible verse or favorite Bible story and why?
Okay, like I said, I'm not good with the Bible, so here we go. So Matthew 6:34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today. I do not worry about tomorrow because I just worry about today and what I'm doing today. Tomorrow is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, I can't worry about tomorrow because I got a lot going on today.
Amen.
So
good. How long have you been married?
I've been married for 11 years.
11 years.
It'll be 12 in July.
Awesome. How many kids do you have?
Four. We both had kids when we got together, and then we had two together.
Awesome.
So. Yep. We have his, mine, and ours.
Good.
Yep.
And they all need to be fed.
Yes.
Amen. Melissa, please tell us about the dynamics of your family's challenges when it comes to faith and how you are leading your family in that.
Well, when it comes to church, I just push forward. I'm the leader of the pack. My husband, it's really hard getting him in here. I get him in here to clean. That's about it. Like, he was here last night too, you know, but that's really hard. You know, sometimes he's just... It's not that he doesn't do church, it's just that he does church his own way. So, I pray a lot. Prayer is my go-to. I pray in the car. I pray everywhere, at my desk at work. I think I pray all day long. I feel like that's all I do is pray, just constantly praying over everything. Like, anytime I think about something that I want or I need or whatever, it's just prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. That's all I do is pray. Please, God, help me. Help me, please. Like, I need this because I've witnessed it help. I've witnessed it happen. Like, things happen. My husband's gotten jobs because I've prayed for him, you know, to get a job, and he's gotten a job. They've called him back, like, the next minute after I've prayed for it. Yes, it's like, okay, good. I'll just keep on praying, you know?
Yeah, it works.
So I'm a praying mother and wife. Like, that's what I have to do. I have to pray for them because I'm the only one doing it.
So. Yeah, amen, amen. Now, you've shared with me some things that go on at home that are difficult, and the mental health challenges that you have with your husband and the things that he deals with, the mental health things that he deals with.
Yes.
How has that changed? How has that challenge helped you draw closer to God?
My husband has health, or mental health. He sleeps a lot. He's depressed. He has bipolar stage 2. He's in bed a lot. It used to be he was in bed for months. We've changed meds. We've gotten all that under control. We've gotten workers and stuff to help him. We've actually, as a family, decided that he was no longer working because it just burns bridges and it makes him look bad, you know, because he can't go to work. And then he drops off the face of the earth for a week or so and people don't know where he's at. And he just can't get out of bed. And he doesn't even, I'll talk to him about what we talked about during that downtime, and he has no recollection of what we talked about. He's completely out of mind experience, he doesn't know. So again, prayer. I pray all the time. That's what I do. I am in my car. I'm a music girl. I worship in my car by myself, screaming out loud, that's my prayer too. Worship him to God, yeah. And praying.
Good.
Just prayer.
Amen. So how do you push forward in life and in church and raising your kids and dealing with all the stuff you just shared? How do you get through all this? What do you do? Yeah, we have one guess. We have a guess.
Well, actually, being around everybody here, good attitudes, good people.
Yes.
You have to have a good support system, to have good attitudes, good, you can't be around people that are down all the time that, I have to have people that lift you up.
Amen.
Bring you up, make you feel good, make you feel like you can actually win this battle, that you're running through.
That's good. That's good.
And that is godly people.
Amen.
They are all happy and, we get refueled here.
Amen. So. Good. Amen to that. All right, last question for you, Miss Melissa. Would you please give us some wisdom that you've learned about dealing with life's challenges and life's relationships?
Well, I put on my paper, pray. And keep around people who love the Lord.
Yeah.
So you just you have to stay around people. I've been around people who don't, and I'm around people who do, and my body wants to be around people who do.
Amen.
I even have people who are at work who love the Lord. And that's why I want to be around, is the people who love the Lord.
That's good.
Because it's easier. It's easier to be at work. It's easier to be at home, when I'm in a good mindset. So,
amen. That's good. Thank you. Will you give her a hand? Thanks, Ms. Melissa. All right, Dustin, Mr. Dustin, will you tell us a quick version of your story, your faith story, how you met Jesus, how he came into your life? You have to put the mic a little closer.
Yeah. I have water and napkins for a reason. Okay. How I met Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was a drug addict. I was in the shower. My heart rate slowed down. Almost died. Said, God, if you don't do something, that's it.
Amen.
And he met me there.
Come on now.
So after the shower, I told my wife, wasn't my wife then, that I'm done. She was like, how was the shower? I was like, no, I'm done. And it was hard for her to believe. I had a personality where I would never be done. So it took a long time to convince kind of everybody around me, that I was actually done. But I never went to rehab. I never struggled.
He took it away.
God literally removed me from the situation.
About how long ago was that?
probably about 15, 16 years ago, somewhere around there.
Praise God. Amen, amen. All right, so what's your favorite, thank you for sharing that, what's your favorite Bible verse or favorite Bible story, and tell us why?
I teach kids, so mine is a story. I like David and Goliath. It's the, there's a lot in that story, but it's the underdog. And where I came from, that's who I fight for now. I find the underdogs, and I try to fight for them. And the cool thing about that is that he didn't have to have anything. God literally gave him what he already had to push him forward to do what God wanted him to do. He already had it. It wasn't any specific thing. And I just love that about that story. So that's my favorite story.
Amen. Praise God. How long have you been married?
12 years.
12 years.
Yeah.
And how many kids do you have?
Two kids.
Two kids. Awesome. Dustin, please tell us about the dynamics of your family's challenges when it comes to faith and how you lead your family in that.
It's a struggle. I guess, what do you want me to start with first? I'm kind of confused on the question here.
Just like the dynamic. Tell us about the dynamics.
Okay.
Tell us about the dynamics in your family, and then tell us when it comes to faith, how are you leading through those dynamics?
So, like, dynamics meaning what?
Like, what's going on at your house that's difficult? Like, she shared that.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
I have a teenager. There's one.
Praise God. Please stand up. I'm just joking.
She's more of a rock than she is anything else. She really helps out a lot, so still has, you know, what she has to go through. But then my wife has MS, which is pretty progressive, pretty fast, and it's stealing her life away. It's hard, yeah. And another struggle is I have diabetes. I deal with that. So there's kind of a lot going on there with medical stuff, but yeah, that's it.
How are you leading your family through that, man? Through faith?
Yeah.
I know you're the leader.
Yeah. It's tough. One thing I've learned to do is to hate my eyes. I do not like my eyes. Not the color, but what they show me. So I ask the Lord to show me the truth. And I ride on that.
Come on.
Because when you wake up, you don't like what you see. You know, and stuff like that. It hurts. So that's so, yeah.
That's right.
In a nutshell.
Through the physical health challenges with your wife, how has that challenge helped you draw closer to God?
I mean, you heard it over here, prayer. I need help in everything that I do, to be there for my wife, to be there for my kid, to be the father, to be the husband. Not having good examples, I literally need God. But where everything falls short, God never does. So that's one thing I've always been able to hold on to, is that he's never ever let me down. So
praise God. So, Dustin, how do you push forward in life, in church, raising your children, and with your wife and your business? What do you do? How do you get through all this, man?
Again, I close my eyes and I have to ask God what the truth is, to put my focus on what I'm fighting for, where I need to focus. I spent so many years turning my mind off that I literally can't rely on my own mind. I have to have the mind of Christ to get me through.
Amen.
And that's honestly what it sounds like, a cop out, but that's what it is. That's what I need. And when I'm not there and I can't be there, it just goes south fast. So
that's good. Last question for you, bro. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being real and honest. Would you please give us all some wisdom that you've learned with dealing with life's challenges and life's relationships?
I would just have to say, you have to listen to God. You have to have ears. You have to want to hear his voice. And if you can do that, life will push you there. But if you're able to listen to that voice, if you're able to draw that strength, if you're able to get what he has for you, you can literally get through anything.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah.
Give him a hand. Thank you, Mr. Dustin. Amen. Miss Marilyn, you probably won't have to hold the mic as close to your mouth as the... Takes one to know one, right? Come on now. All right, Miss Marilyn, please tell us a quick version, okay, of your faith story and how you met Jesus.
Well, I was raised in a Baptist, a staunch Baptist church in Chicago, so I was just made to go to church. But when I really knew in my heart that he was real, is I was a drug addict as well for about 18 years. And when I knew he was real is when I was pregnant with my birth daughter. I drugged, it's nothing to be ashamed of, this is just part of my testimony. I drugged for the entire time that I was pregnant. And I found out I was pregnant when I went to rehab. I knew that I couldn't beat this thing on my own, so I went to rehab and they did a physical and they said, oh, you know you're pregnant. So the only time that I didn't drug was the 45 days I was in rehab. But when I knew he was real was when, this was in Dallas, Texas, when I had moved to Dallas by that time. In Dallas, if you deliver a child who's addicted, social services take your child right away and then you're arrested right away. So the day that I went into labor, it was the same hospital that I went to rehab, so they took my blood and knew that I was positive for drugs, that they called human services and the sheriff. But little did I know, all of those times that I was getting high and I would just pray to God that please don't let my baby come out addicted. Please just keep me. I'm just addicted, and I just made excuses and excuses, and all I craved was water. When my baby was born, she didn't have a stitch of drugs.
Come on now.
And so I was like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. How does this happen? So, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you my favorite Bible verse.
How'd you know it was coming?
Because I think it's Daniel, the third chapter. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat, Abednego. So it's one thing to say you have faith. A lot of people, oh, I believe in God, but when it comes to it, they don't have faith. But to know that God, he was there all the time. He heard my prayer. Because I was baptized at like 10. So just because you stray away, that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. And he still got your back. And so when my baby was born without drugs in her system, she came home with me after 3 days. And that child is a engineer. Right now.
Amen. Good. How long you been married?
Which one? No.
Well, I don't know, pick your favorite, I guess. I don't know. Okay. How about now? Oh my. We had a meeting in my office. It was this fun. Okay.
I was previously married for 18 years, but this marriage is 4 years.
4 years.
Yes.
Awesome. How many kids do you have?
Right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I have one birth daughter. I have three adopted children. And I have one of my adopted kids, he's 17. And I have three other teenage boys.
Amen.
Well, they're foster. They're foster kids.
How many, okay, speaking of foster kids, so tell us a little bit more about your children since you have one birth, three adopted, and then you've had how many foster kids?
Well, I was a single mom with a daughter, so I started off with girls. I've had 31 teenage girls. I had fostered one of the girls' brother, because you never mix the two, the boys and girls. And after I had the boy, I'm like, ooh, they're so much easier. So I kind of just weeded the girls out, and so I'm on boy number 71 right now.
Boy 71. Amen.
And so my teenagers, I get them normally about the age of 14 to 17 and 18, because those are the kids no one wants. And so I teach them how to get jobs, to interview for jobs, how to drive. I get them cars, bank accounts, everything that they need for when they get out of the system.
Amen.
Yeah. 21 years, so that, I guess that's my calling. It's not necessarily in the church, but I, out of all of the kids, I would say at least 30 of them have been baptized.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Praise God. I told you to look closer.
Okay.
I lied. But that was my next question. Anything else you can think of, like through foster care, adoption? How has God used you to personally bless these children's lives? Like you just mentioned, maybe tell us a little bit something else, too.
Well, you know, it's hard. We, you know, I trust a teenager to be a teenager. Half of the kids that have been in my home were there because of their parents, their circumstances beyond their control. They're drug addicts, they're in jail or dead, and they don't have relatives. And the other half is just behavior issues. Satan is on the rampage, and what he's doing right now is robbing these kids. So much mental illness in these kids. And so for me, because of the love of God, you truly can't love anyone if you don't love God. So I'm pretty now, I'm not bragging, but it's easy for me to love these kids because I love God, and I understand the assignment, which is, so I don't treat, other than the color of their skin, I don't treat my foster kids like foster kids. They're my kids. So with Christmas, when I had the girls, what my girl got, the kids got. The other girls got. Even like now, all they want is PS4 stuff, but, and you know, Xbox, but.
Can I be your kid?
Can
I be your kid? I'd like a PS4.
I mean, it's the truth, because. It's true, because it's one thing to know that these kids are in foster care.
Yeah.
But when it's beyond their control, they're just, it messes up their mind when they don't understand that, why my mom chose those drugs over me, or why my mom chose that man over me. So I love on them. I love them. And I don't call them foster kids. They're my son. They're my sons. And like Christmas, one of the ones I have right now, he didn't have anywhere to go. You know, a lot of times these kids have relatives that will, you know, send them something, or every now and then they come over for a couple hours. I have one that doesn't have anyone. And so I have to love him through that. And it's not easy to love other folks' kids, especially when they curse you out and they put holes in your walls and all of that kind of stuff. But as being a Christian, I don't have the spirit of fear. So I fear no evil, because I know he's with me.
Amen.
And if he brought me to it, he's going to take me through it.
Come on now. Mm-hmm. Miss Marilyn, will you please tell us, how do you push forward in life, in church, raising these children? How do you push forward through everything that you're doing? And if you don't mind, just put the mic a little bit closer so it's not ringing. There you go.
Okay. How do I push forward? It's easy. I trust God. I trust his promises. I know what I'm doing is a good thing. I've had kids to tell me, like, if I, heaven forbid, if I say a curse word, I'm like, you know, I'm striving to be like Jesus. I'm not Jesus. You mess with me on the wrong day, you might get cussed out. You know what I mean? So I'm just honest with them. And it's not it's not a ploy or anything. I'm honest with them. And I just tell them, since you've tried everything else in life and you're still not happy, why don't you just give Jesus a try? Give him a little nudge. Why don't you come to church with me? See, when I used to have kids at 10, 11, and 12, I haven't done it in years and years and years, they would have to go to church with me. Consequently, those kids at some point will say, I want to be saved, and can I get baptized? And they get back. But when they are 16 and 17, you don't force them to go to church. And I'll just say, why don't you come to church? Some of them do, some of them don't. So I just try to lead by example. Like if something happens and I'm at home, I'll say, oh, Lord, I call out on his name. If they use the Lord's name in vain, I'll, hey, dude, don't. you know, I just kind of keep it real with them. And like right now, they're hanging out at home, but they see me go to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. So I try to lead by example for them. And like I say, prayer, that's in the car, in the shower, in the bathroom. It doesn't matter. You just, you know, and I thank God. And I give him praise and worship a lot.
Praise God. That's great. Last question for you. Mm-hmm. Would you please give us all some wisdom that you've learned dealing with life's challenges and life's relationships?
Well, my wisdom is more so for young people. I'll just say the youngsters, because that's what I know. Three things. One is, don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today, because tomorrow's not promised to you. So a lot of kids will say, I don't want to, I want to do it. I mean, you're old. I wasn't born this age. I actually was a kid and grew up, so I know what you're going through and everything you're doing.
That's
this
good.
Is nothing new. Even if I knew that those platform shoes was going to come back in style, I would have kept them, because you could never wear them out, because everything that's coming around has been around. And so that's why I tell them, do this today and stop putting it off, because you might be dead tomorrow or whatever. The next thing is, closed mouths don't get fed. If you have an issue, someone's messing with you, something's going on wrong, these kids, like, I don't want to snitch. Learn the difference between snitching and having common sense and telling someone that you need help. So I can't help you fix it if you don't tell me. So that's something you really need to understand,
that's
because
good.
There's people out there trying to help you kids, even young
good.
Adults, not just necessarily kids. And lastly is, when you've tried everything else in life and you go to your friends and you see they can't help you and they talk about you, they're hating on you and putting it on Snapchat and all of this stuff, try God. It's got to be a reason. It has to be some truth to this thing called God and Jesus, because it's been down through history and movies and in books and the Bible. I don't think all of that is just made up. And it won't cost you anything. Just try them. And you don't have to. I can't get on my knees. That's why I don't get, because I have really bad knees. That's why I never come up here. But there's nothing to say you have to get on your knees. You can be where he will come to you where you are and just believe in your heart. So you just have to have that faith, which is those things that you cannot see. Like, you can't see gas, but you start your car and sit in the garage, you're going to die. So it's the same with God.
That's good.
It's the
That's good.
Okay.
When you said gas and you said teenage boys, I thought you were going somewhere way different.
I just get excited when I start talking about the goodness of God, because he's real. And just know that he's real. And what you do when you've tried everything, as long as you've got breath in your body,
amen,
it's not too late. And he can help you and he can heal you.
Amen. Amen. Melissa, Dustin, Marilyn, thank you so much for sharing part of your lives with us. Thank you for being open and real. Yeah, go ahead and be seated. The congregation, give them a hand. Amen.
You know I'm a big talker.
Oh. All right. You know, I'm going to close this out today. I just feeling like probably don't need worship at the end here. I just want to say a couple things and we're going to close out today. Wasn't that awesome? Amen. How I know you liked it is there's still most everybody's in here, and we're way past normal time, so that's awesome that you were digging on that. That's wonderful. I just want to say a couple things. I'm going to close this in prayer. If you boil down Christian life down to just one word, what do you think that word would be? I believe that word would be relationships. That's what I think. And this is why. When Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment, Jesus replied like this in Matthew 22, 36 through 39. This is what Jesus said. It says, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And this is what Jesus said back. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." And then he says, "This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as you love yourself."
Jesus tells us that our first priority was to have proper relationships with God. Now, you heard that over and over and over, no matter what the background was, no matter the relationship, whatever it was. You have to have a relationship with God. And then the second thing you have to do to have a proper relationship is you have to have it with God. And the second thing is you have to have it with man, with someone else. The key is this. You can't have the first, right? You can't have, you can't have the second one without the first one. If you don't have a good relationship with God, you can't have a great relationship with people. That's how it works. To love properly and to have a strong and proper relationship, you must first love God. Then God was going to help you with the rest of your relationships. Church, I'm going to leave you with two questions before I pray. And I want you to ask yourself this as you go this morning, this afternoon. And this Pentecostal church, we could even go into the evening. Come on. That was an awkward laugh. Church, I want to leave you two questions to ask yourself. Number one is this. Where are you in your relationship with God today? And number two, where are you in your relationship with fellow man today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this early afternoon. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for the realness. We thank you for the rawness. We thank you for the wisdom. Father, what I heard over and over again is no matter what, no matter where, no matter how, you always were there with them and got them through it. And the relationship that they had with you was the only way they could survive, the only way that they're getting through it, and the only way that they're going to be able to get through anything in the future. Father, thank you for prayer. That's what we're doing now. It's just a conversation between us and our Maker. It's just the creation talking to the Creator. And we don't have to make it weird. We don't have to make it anything else. But God, we just come to you and we recognize that you are the keeper of all, that you are sovereign, that you are all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving, that you are the most amazing thing. And without anything else in our life, God, if all we could have was you, that'd be enough. Because in you, all things are. They're all good. They're great, God. They're things that when we walk through hard times that you get us through it. You're our strength. You're our power. You're our love. You're our mercy. You're our grace. And God, as we walk out today, we're going to walk out here in a moment and we're going to have relationships, not only with you, but with other people, however deep that is or however deep we want it to go. But I pray for better relationships in this house. Anybody who's hearing this, I pray for better relationship, deeper relationships, that not only we share the gospel of Jesus, but we also share our own lives as well, like your word says that we're to do. Father, as we go today, may you be with us. May we change the world because the world changer lives in us. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, say amen. 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 Tell somebody you love them as you go today.